sorry for my lateness. I apologize. It's my fault, all right? But great to see everyone here. So thank you for being here this morning. What I want to do first, because one word that is often used today that is not used in the way that God defines it in the Bible is the word curse. You know, you watch a movie and someone says, you know, which curse is this person? And so it's really important we understand what God's definition of a curse is. So let's look in our Bibles just at one verse, because we don't have a lot of time to look into this morning. But let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I'm thankful that in the Bible, God does define words, and it's really important if you're reading your Bible that you're reading it in context. You don't just take words out and then make a teaching out of it, which is what a lot of false churches have done. They've just taken verses, picked it, and said, "Oh, see, that says something," but they didn't read the verses before and they didn't read the verses after, and that's how you get the context. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and in verse 19, it says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." No, before this verse is mentioned, the law has been given, okay? And the law was conditional. Obey, and there would be blessing. Disobey, and there would be cursing. And what is the cursing? The cursing was judgment. And we see that. We see that through Israel's history, as we read the Bible, which records a lot of Israel's history, that when the Jews would disobey God, would disobey His commandment, would forget His statutes, His ordinances, His law, then God would have to send judgment, okay? It's like a parent, you know, a parent says to their child, if you do this, then hey, you'll get a reward, but if you disobey, then there's going to be a punishment, okay? And that's exactly what God did. The Lord treated Israel like His firstborn son, okay? The Bible even says that Israel was His chosen nation, okay? But God expected Israel to obey. He said, "This is My law. I want you to be a people that obeys My law, that keeps My word, unlike the other nations that go against Me, that do what Satan wants." Okay? Hope that makes sense. So a curse, when in the context of Genesis chapter 3, a curse is a judgment. It's a consequence. Okay? It's a penalty for sin. Okay, so remembering last week what we learned about the Lord Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, I thought it's important. We didn't get time to look at these verses, but I love how the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And what I mean by that is that there's so many cross references that show us that God keeps His word. Okay, God always keeps His word. He's promised many things, He's fulfilled many things, and He's yet to fulfill many as well. But let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "And I will put enmity." Remember, that means hostility, or there would be conflict, okay? "I will put enmity between thee and the woman," so that He's speaking to the serpent, which we remember, Pastor probably said it, but that's a reference to Satan, okay? Satan and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Remember, the seed of Satan are those that follow him, okay? But the seed of the woman is those that have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, put their faith in God. Remember, we're saved by grace through faith. Okay, but remember, the seed, it also refers to where it says between thy seed, so Satan's seed being that son of perdition, the Antichrist, who is yet to be revealed. And of course, her seed, the seed of the woman, is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that he would be the one that would have the victory over over the serpent, because it says here, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay, so not bruise the seed of the serpent, but bruise the serpent itself. Do you understand that? So Satan would be destroyed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at some verses here. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This verse is often mentioned during Christmas, which it's a great verse. But this is fulfilled prophecy, okay? This is a fulfilled prophecy. It says, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning God with us. Mm. God with us. God dwelt with man. And the Lord, you know, the Bible says that God is a spirit, okay, but God took on human flesh, okay, and was born of a virgin. He didn't come from the seed of man, because man had sinned, okay? The Lord Jesus had to have, he took on the nature of man, but it wasn't a sin nature, okay? It was, he was without sin, okay? It says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. I'm thankful for the virgin birth. I'm thankful for how the Bible says that the Spirit of God came and that Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost. Praise God for that. And praise God, the Lord Jesus is without sin. And not only was he without sin, but he did no sin. Okay, he did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Let's look at some more verses in Galatians chapter 4, referring to how the Lord Jesus was the seed of the woman. Okay, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Alright, so the Lord Jesus, he was conceived and born of a virgin. He was made like us. He took on the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So he was judged for our sin and our place. Okay, the Bible says that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God on him. So the Lord Jesus was punished wholly and completely for the sin of man. Okay, and the Bible says all in Adam died, but all in Christ shall be made alive. And Christ died for the sin of Adam, but he died for all men, because all are in Adam. Amen? Alright, it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I'm thankful for that, you know, like that song, free from the law, a happy condition, Jesus hath bled, and there is remission. What a blessing it is to be saved, to be redeemed, okay, redeemed from the curse. The Bible says that the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. So the law condemned us, but Christ hath made us redeemed. Okay, he's given us life and set us free from that condemnation. What a blessing. Okay, let's look at another verse there. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. It says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So there you have the cursing. Christ took the curse for us. Okay, the curse of the law. The Bible says that he died for us. Okay, he died for me. And he was hung on the tree. That prophecy there is in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23. Excuse me, it's not a prophecy, but it says that there's a curse to everyone that hangeth on a tree. In verse 14, we see the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So Jesus was cursed that we might be blessed. Do you see that? Jesus was cursed that we might be blessed. And the blessing is that we're saved by faith. Okay, that we're saved by grace through faith. Just like how Abraham believed and God imputed his righteousness to him. What a blessing. Okay? So, Jesus is the seed of the woman. Now let's look more at this curse on the woman. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." None of these curses are pleasant. I just want to point that out. None of these curses are pleasant to the woman, to the man, okay? The curse on creation, none of this is pleasant, okay? But it's a reality. It's the truth. And even though this curse, it was a negative thing, God still meant it for good. And you will see this soon. God still meant it for good. So the curse. First thing I'd like to point out is we are not sure of the exact reason why Adam ate the fruit when the woman gave it to him. Because you notice it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, towards the latter part, it says, "She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." We see in the preceding verses how Satan tricked Eve to eat. Okay, she thought that she was missing out on something. She thought she was missing out on some knowledge. The Lord's holding out on me. I better eat this fruit, and then I'll know things that I've never known before, and become like a god, not knowing good and evil. But Satan tricked her. Satan told her a lie, and she was deceived. But regarding Adam, the man, it just says that he took off he received from her. So it says, "And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." We're not sure exactly why. Some have said that, or maybe he felt sorry for his wife. But I believe, based on what the Bible has to say, that it was a deliberate disobedience. Okay, because the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." So it was through man that sin entered into the world, not through the woman. But anyway, the Bible is very clear, and our pastor mentioned it before, that it was the serpent, Satan, that had deceived Eve. Okay, it says in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, beguiled," okay, tricked. Remember in Genesis 3 verse 1, we see that the serpent was more subtle. And so that word meaning crafty, and beguiled is a very similar word, okay? Trickery. "Through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Just because Eve was innocent did not prevent her from being susceptible to deception, okay? Mm-hmm. Satan, the great, who is he? The great deceiver, all right? And then we see in 1 Timothy, let's turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 2. So a lot of people, especially a lot of skeptics, like to use this verse to say, "Oh, Christians put down woman." That's not the case at all. God has made man and woman equal, but with what? Different roles. Okay? Different roles. Different roles in the home. And here we see different roles in the church. Okay? And it's not because that women aren't capable or not at all, but it's that God desires for us to do things decently and in order. Okay, and by the way, the roles that God has given to women, they are excellent at it. They are better than men. And then the roles that, men have, that God have given men, they are better at it. Okay? And that's the way God has designed it, because he's made man and woman different. And we should thank God for those differences.
Amen.
And we should encourage each other and edify one another in those roles, because they're wonderful. And you know, when it comes to I can only use my mum as an example and my wife Tilly, but I have seen them at their happiest when they have done the role that God has for them. I've seen them at their happiest, and they can testify themselves. But you know, one of those roles for women is to bear children. Okay, and believe me, women are the best nurturers.
Yeah.
Okay, some by the way, not all, because you know, we hear of stories. Unfortunately, I heard on the news last week that, you know, children being abused and neglected. Okay, it's terrible. Some women aren't very good about it, but we know that it's because of sin. We all need Jesus to save us, to cleanse us, and to transform us from the inside out. Amen?
Hmm.
And only he can do that. Not in me, not in you, but it's in him. He is all powerful. Okay? But one of the roles that God has given woman is to bear children. Okay? Let's look at this verse here. So it says 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. It says, I'll read this in context, sorry. It says in verse 12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Okay, we're talking about the church. This is the context of the church. Verse 13, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve." Okay, so we see that God made man first, and then he made the woman. Okay, remember, this doesn't mean that women are inferior, okay, less important than men. Doesn't mean that at all, okay? Remember, why did God make the woman? He made the woman for the man. Okay, and the Bible says, in, I believe in 1 Corinthians, that the man is for the woman is for the man, and all things are to Christ. Okay, we're all on the same level, and you know, in God's eyes, the man and the woman that are married are one flesh. Okay, equal, one flesh. What a blessing. Okay. Verse 14, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." Okay, so we see there that God has given a role to woman, to bear children there. And we see that that there is an order. Okay, there is an order. The Bible says that the husband is the what? Head of the home. He's the head of the wife. And that order was put in place after the fall. Okay, it was that, it says in the last part of Genesis chapter 3 verse 16, "And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Now, unfortunately, okay, we've seen this in many civilizations in the past, women have been oppressed. They have been. It's the truth. There are many today that are trying to make up for what has happened in the past, but I believe a lot of it is going from one extreme to the other. Do you know what I mean? One extreme to the other, and we just need to get back to the Bible. We just need to get back to the Word of God and seek the Lord and see what his plan is for the home, what his plan is for the husband, what his plan is for the wife, what his plan is for the children. Okay? There is a role for everyone, and if everyone's doing their part, it's a happy home. Okay, just like that song, Harmony at Home. And there was a song that I used to listen to by Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate. You know, "I carry the load with a happy heart." Everyone in the home has a load to carry. Mm. Everyone does. And if everyone's carrying the load, it's a happy home. It's a happy home. So if you're not sure how your home should be run, well, seek the Lord. Okay? He is there to help you, and he has not left us without the truth.